Station number 12661, Mr. Jim Ray, Reel 6.
Mr. Ray, Reel 6, you've told me about the stickman now and his job. What about if you weren't one of the, you were one of the four who weren't picked? What was your job during the day as a guard then?
My job was to be posted, as a sentry, posted outside the guard room. There was a strip of tarmac laid down that was a beat from one end of the administrative building to the other, and used to march smartly up and down, keep yourself busy, you know, each movement correct, and any officer approaching the administration room to see the CO had to come to the slope and give a butt salute and carry on marching up and down. We were on the beat 2 hours. At the end of 2 hours, we were changed by my next number coming out. I fell out smartly. The other man carried on, and I went back into the guard room, and I was there.
What would you do in the guard room?
Well, we'd just sit and have a talk, have a smoke, but always on the alert.
What would happen if the guard was turned out? If someone...
Well, the sentry, he would give the command, stand to the guard, and he would be standing to attention. Guard, turn out. We would all turn out, line up, get in the line, the guard commander. That was if anything unbeknown or something happened, such as for instance, anyone of importance, the guard would be called out on those occasions.
And how long in all would you be doing that? Would that go on for the full 24 hours?
That was 24 hours, two on and four off. All our meals were brought to the guard room, and everything was collected and took back to the cookhouse or wherever it was. And the guard room was always kept. We had beds in the guard room. And in the guard room, there's also the clink, the lock-up. Anybody did something serious, it was put in the guard room, they went inside the bars.
There was an actual locked cell in there, was
it? Oh, yes, it was a cell.
Hmm? And what sort of thing would they do? Were there many people locked up?
Not in my time. That was there for that purpose, anyway.
So you had guard duties, fatigues, and training.
Yes.
Anything else you might be put on in the morning, you know, on the notice board? That was daily, was it, the notice board?
Yes, daily routine, yes.
So every day you had to check it?
Oh, yes. You had to make yourself acquainted with that detail. Because you weren't directly told you and you, except if you're on parade and something immediate happened, the volunteers, you report to so-and-so, you see. But you made yourself acquainted. If you didn't, well, it was an offence.
So is there anything else you could be put on? Commonly?
I don't think so.
What about church parades? What were they like on Sunday?
Sunday, yes. Church parade every Sunday.
What was that like?
Full dress, not without rifles. We marched to church. And we had our service. The band used to go, the band used to play to church. And
were you expected to get really polished up for that? Or?
Well, yeah, of course. You had to be, you were on parade, the church parade. And they used to have an officer in charge of the church parade as well. He used to go with us. We had several denominations, you know.
Which were you?
C of E.
Well, were you actually religious, or were you just C of E, as opposed to nothing else, you know?
Well, I've always been a religious person. Even though I wasn't in the army, I used to go to church and chapel.
So you are keen on church parades, then?
Yeah, yes, I used to look forward to it. Yes, church parade. And when we came to a halt, the officer and the NCO in charge would say, right, fall out other denominations. That meant Roman Catholics, Presbyterians, and such as that, you see. And they used to wait outside till our church services were finished, and we used to fall in as we fell out, you know, in order. And the people who were other denominations, of course, they came back with us. But I don't think it was strange, because there were always churches where the Roman Catholics could go to church on their own, you see. They were allowed to go on their own. I don't think there was a church for Wesleyans and Methodists and things like that, anyway. Not that I knew of.
That was church parade. What else would you do on a Sunday? Where was the rest of the day?
Well, after church parade, that was it. Free and easy.
Now, what about recreations? You've mentioned three things. There's a reading room, which you've already explained. You just basically newspapers and books.
Well, we all knocked off at tea time. The rest of the evening was our own. We could go to the Garrison Cinema if we wanted to.
What sort of films would they have on there? Just the local hits? Just the hits of the time?
That's right. At that period.
And was the cinema popular with people?
Oh, yes. Quite a lot. See, it was the cinema of the camp. It was always well attended.
Did you have to pay to get in?
Yes.
And what were your favourite?
Really?
What were your favourite?
Anything that came along to entertain me, I think. No particular favourites.
So there was the cinema. What about the naffy you mentioned? Where you get?
Well, you could go in. You could go into the naffy, and there's always a billiard room. You know, you could go in the billiard room. You had to put your name down. You didn't pay for these sort of things, and in the naffy you could have a cup of tea. And there's the wet canteen was open as well. You know.
Now you didn't drink then, did you?
No.
Were you unusual? Or were did quite a lot of people not drink?
But anyway, Peter, quite a lot of people didn't drink. I think the drinkers were mainly the NCOs. But they used to be separated from us altogether. They used to have a place of their own.
So you wouldn't go to the wet canteen much?
No, never.
What other recreations did you have? The gymnasium, were you allowed to go there for private things?
Yes, the Garrison Gymnasium. You could go any time you liked after parade hours. Yes, and you used to have... we haven't come into on sports, have we?
Well, we can go on to sport now.
Are we? Yes. About once a fortnight, we used to go to swimming baths. That was attached to the Sandy Soldiers' Home, Catrick.
Were you keen on swimming?
Yes, I used to like swimming a lot.
Could you already swim?
Yes. I learned to swim in the River Weir when I was going to school. And I didn't get into serious trouble because I used to abscond after school hours, 4 o'clock, about 4 or 5 of us together. We used to go down to the river. It was only about 20 minutes walk down to the river. And there's a shallow bay there where we used to learn to swim. My father, he got rather dodgy about this because I wasn't in at a certain time, you see. To camouflage where I'd been, I used to rub some soil and dirt on my knees, make myself look a bit grubby, because you got rather clean when you were swimming, you know what I mean? And you hadn't much to dry with what you'd been in, because you used to wear what they call a G-string made from a handkerchief to go in, in broad daylight. And we're swimming there in the sunshine and the whale of a time. There was many times before I went for a swim with the lads, I used to nip up the backyard. My mother used to put large round cakes on the windowsill outside to cool off. And I used to sneak up. I used to tear a lump out and stick it under my jersey and sneak away. My mother knew what I was doing, but she wouldn't say anything to my father.
So
but they got rather worried on this score. I'll keep on to this one a little bit. Actually, I was doing wrong. I could have been drowned. It'd have been a big shock to my parents, wouldn't it? I never thought of that. One day in the bright sunshine, we were all enjoying ourselves in the water. And one of the chaps said, "Hey, Jimmy, what? Here's your father." "What?" "Father's coming along the river bank. There he is, look." And he was coming along with his walking stick. He used to use a walking stick. And he come to the edge. And he went with his finger, "Come on, out. I want you out." So he said, "So this is where you get to after school." I was frightened. He said, "Come along with me, along here." Now, further along the river bank towards the bridge, the deep there. And the Chesterley Street Rowing Club, they used to keep their skiffs in there, the rowing boats and everything, the oars in there, and they used to practice on the river. And it was deep, and there's like a low landing stage where they used to get the boats and put them down, just like the Oxford and Cambridge Blues, Well, before I could say, "Bob's your uncle," he flung me in. He says, "That can swim, can't they?" Whoosh. I went down to all the brown water, and I came up. So I got to the side. He says, "Yeah, get on my stick." He pulled me out. Well, he was like pulling a wet rabbit out of the water. "Oh, you can swim. Go and run up and down and get dried off." He said, "We'll go home together, shall we?" And he lectured me all the way home. Why did I do it? And the reason why they were worried, It was quite logical. And we go back to the army, the swimming. Well, prior to that, at the depot, we did have one or two swimming lessons up at Northumberland Swimming Baths. That was allocated. Sometimes the Northumberland Fusiliers were attached at the end, By this time, I became quite a good swimmer. And at the battalion, we formed what they call a water polo team, and I was one of them. And then we used to have used to be short swimming hours on as well, you know. And that happened when I was at school. I was down to the school competitions. I got quite one or two good prizes there.
But in the army, you were in these competitions as well?
Yes.
What other sports did you do in the army?
Football. I was an all-round. I used to play football. Had a game of rugby juniors.
Did you play for, the company or the battalion?
Company. Because one company used to vie against another, you know, football. Quite a bit of time was taken up with sport as well. It wasn't all work and no play. You know.
What about boxing? Was that popular?
Boxing, yes. You were able to have a go at that.
Did you have a go?
Oh, yes. I rate self-defence as well.
Did you enter any of the competitions?
I didn't take it as a competitive. I did it for more or less self-defence, you know. And that was it. That's all I required. But we had boxing teams in the battalion. There was three, even in the bugle section. It was Ledden, Patrick Ledden, Irishman, Robert Turnbull. I think his name was Turnbull, yeah. We used to call him Doc for short. He was a boxer. And Matthews. They were the three.
So boxing was quite a big thing. Mm. Any other sport you played?
Hockey. No. He used to be on the company hockey team. Company football. I used to have a game of football now and again. Not too keen on the football, but I used to get plenty of exercise, running around and cracking, you know. One or two fouls here and there. little bit of roughage on the pitch. But it's all good fun.
So sport was quite important to you at that time. How else would you be amuse yourself? What other recreations did they have? Was there much gambling about?
Well, there was, but it was always done in secret because you're not supposed to gamble, you know.
So did you get involved in it at
no,
all?
No, never. No, I didn't. No, I never played cards. No.
Now, how are you getting on with your fellow privates, you know, you're a mixture there of young soldiers and old soldiers.
Oh, very well.
Did the old soldiers take advantage a bit, or was it?
No, they're quite good chaps. If you're in any doubt, anything like that, always go to an old soldier, he put you right.
They didn't take advantage?
No, never.
And you've made lots of friends and that sort of thing?
Yes.
What about the NCOs? Were they all right?
Yes, they were all right, yeah. Quite all right.
And who was your platoon officer at the time, before you went to the bugle section?
Company commander. There wasn't a platoon officer, we were all a company. We weren't divided into platoons, actually. No. I mentioned his name, I think.
Yes, Cousins.
Mr. Cousins, yeah.
Yes. What was he like?
Very good. He's all right. Very good. Very, very fair. He gave you the benefit of the doubt, anyway.
Right, now, you were there after about 9 months. You had a trial as a bugler. Can you tell me what made you want to be a bugler? How did it all come about?
Well, I fancied it because they were a unit on their own and they used to be attached to the band. And, I suddenly thought, well, I think I'll go and have a try down the bugler, see if I can be a bugler. Well, I didn't want to be a bandsman anyway, you know. Bugler was being a bugler, because they were at the front, right at the front they were, on the march, and very smart as well. And unbeknown to the company commander, I went down to the bugle section and had a bit patter with the boys down there. So we used to have practice bugles, you know. So I think it was Bill Willis. He was a builder. He said, you wonder what? I said, oh, I'd like to be a builder. Oh, yes. Well, he said, can you blow a bugle? I said, no, I don't think so. So he says, try this, and he pulled it down. So I blurted one or two bits and things out, like, and it's a little bit of practice, like, and well, you'll have to see the bugle major. So I saw the bugle major Mason, and I could blow one or two notes on it, you know, unbeknown to myself, like high and low. So I said, yes, he said, well, how? He says, some, he says, they just can't blow when they start putting it to the lips. He says, how come you can do this? Well, I said, when I was going to school, as a youngster, we used to get pipes, pieces of gas piping. And we used to use that, you know, in our fashion, like down in the forestry, there was quite a lot of forestry, Brecon Hill wood. We used to use that as a trumpet, like, you know, for a signal. So, little things like that, you see, that's how it started.
That was the only musical experience you'd had then, blowing pipes. You'd not had any musical training at all
not
before.
Really, not really, no.
So what did he say then?
Well, I'll see about your transfer, right, and I'll let you know later on. So it come to pass, the company commander called for me, and he said, I believe you want to be transferred to the Buglers, Ray. Is that correct? I said, yes, sir. He said, why? I said, well, I'd like to be a bugler. Oh? He said, indeed. He said, I'd rather have you in my company, you know. And he ummed and ahed. He said, well, I'll have to see, I'll have to go up the orderly room. It all depends on the CO, because there's an inter transfer, you know, in the company, you see. That's to keep the record straight. He said, right, fall out, and so I'll do that for you as soon as I can. And the next morning he sent for me again. He said, right, he said, Ray, he said, sorry to lose you from the company. He said, you've been quite an asset to our company, and I'll miss you. And I got my kit and I went down into the bugle section, and that's it. I become a learner in the bugles.
Now, how many buglers were there in the bugle section?
No. 4, 6, 8, 12, 16. Well, there must have been at least, I would say about 25 to 30, you know, in that region.
And how many of them would be learning with you?
I think I was the only learner. They were all, Alf Owens was there as well, you know, Alf. And he'd been there before, he was a bugler before me, really. Yeah, 'cause that's why he had an advantage, you see. And we used to do plenty of practicing.
So now you were attached to the headquarters wing of the battalion, yeah. Or headquarters company, they call it later, but
yes.
And so what was, how did they train you on the bugle? How did they go about it?
Well, I had to practice the five basic notes first. Just to get them, and then the
call. What are the five basic notes? You don't know?
No, I forget now.
Yeah, that's fair enough. It's a long time ago.
A long time ago, yes. But anyway, they practice those five notes from the bottom range to the top, down again, up again, down again to...
So you scales?
Scale. That was a five note scale. But you had to learn those basic five notes because you could interchange, you see, for chords, different pitches. And I got on quite well with that, and it wasn't long before I was with the Buglers. I don't think it took me more than about 6 weeks anyway to get the hang of it all. Because besides Bugle College, you know, you had Bugle Marches.
Oh, come on. But where did you go to practice?
Oh.
I mean, there's nothing worse than...
Away. Hilliard, what do you call it? Hilliard Arms Lane. Why you call it Arms for, I don't know. Perhaps there might have been a pub right at the bottom somewhere. And there we brought our heart's content. And we could separate and do a little bit on our own, you know, and then the bugle major or the corporal, he'd come round and say, right, get in line, now we'll do the scale, you know, all together. Then he'd half us. He'd say, right, this half on my beat and this half on the beat, you come down, scale, and you go up. And it used to blend. That's how you got to know how these five notes and the bugles together, how it blended the noise. Sound, I should say. I don't know what the villagers would think round about, you know what I mean, because there wasn't only the Denham Light Infantry buglers going at it. You would have the heavy infantry drummers going as well in their little compartment, and bands practicing in such another room. Quite a lot of noise going around.
So they taught you the scales.
Yes.
And then would the next thing you learn would be the common calls.
That's right.
Yeah. Do you remember any of them now?
Yes, I do, but I don't think I'm in the position to go through them. The regimental call, followed by the company call, or followed by...
So what would the regiment... What would these calls be for? What was the regimental call for?
Draw your attention to what the bugle was going to do, sound next.
So that just meant... There's something to do with the 1st Battalion Durham Light Infantry coming up now.
And the same cause applied in the 2nd Battalion Buglers as well. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, they were fixtures.
And then the company calls, that would that follow the regimental call?
Yes.
So the first call said it's the Durham Light Infantry, the second call would say which company it was.
A Company, B, C or D. And then you had a call for letters.
That just meant the post was there.
That's right, yes. And we had one for the cookhouse, yes.
And that, your meal was ready.
That's right.
That's quite the famous one where they come to the cookhouse door, you know.
No, that's right. That's a normal one. That.
Did they actually have sort of little phrases to help you remember all of them? Or is that just...
Well, not really.
You just remember the tune?
Yes. Well, they used to have a first call for officers' mess every night. There's always a bugler in the guard room, you see. Officers' mess first call, and officers' mess second.